Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Some developing news this morning involving Boeing and the 737 MAX aircraft. Earlier in the program, we reported that Indonesia considering canceling Garuda Indonesia, the airline there, considering canceling 49 of the Boeing 737 MAX jets on order from Boeing at a $6 billion price. It's unclear whether those would be swapped out for another model or if the order will just be canceled outright. Lion Air in Indonesia, which was the victim of that crash in October, has also been considering canceling future orders. And also this morning, new Boeing says it will install an extra safety alarm in the cockpits of all of its 737 MAX aircraft after the criticism from these two fatal crashes. The group says the Boeing group has decided to include a warning light in the new 737 MAX planes and will retrofit all existing ones, according to a person familiar with the situation. Quoted in the story, the alarm will tell pilots if two angle of attack sensors, which indicate the angle of the plane's nose, disagree, a sign that one is not working. Again, that a published report this morning, Boeing not commenting on this. Let's bring in Brian Summers this morning. Brian is senior aviation business editor for skiff.com, and he is with us via Skype this morning from Los Angeles. Brian, I want to talk more about how the Boeing 737 MAX story is impacting airlines. I know these planes have been grounded, and there's some forward guidance about what to expect going forward. Let's begin there.
Well, Steve, it depends where in the world you're talking about. Here in the United States, U.S. airlines are in pretty good shape. Only three of them fly the MAX. That's United, American, and Southwest. The MAX is such a new airplane. That's, of course, why we have the problems. But it also means that no U.S. airline has all that many of them. So I think Southwest has the most. Maybe they have 34 or so. Spring is not that big of a time for travel. There's a bit of a peak around the Easter weekend. But other than that, airlines have a lot of slack in their fleets, and they're basically able to do, more flying. So even though they're losing their 737 MAX fleets this month, they have other 737s that were probably scheduled for downtime or some low-level maintenance that they can push back into service. So the U.S. carriers say that so far the impact on customers is minimal. And one way you can know that they're serious about this, Steve, is because they have not updated their guidance to Wall Street, right? So that if this was really a material problem for them, they would go out and they would tell Wall Street, we think we're going to make a little less revenue than expected this quarter. They haven't done that yet. It doesn't mean they won't. But what is notable is that two Canadian airlines, that's WestJet, a low-cost carrier, and Air Canada, have a greater proportion of MAX jets in their fleet. So they don't have all that many of them, but they just have fewer airplanes than the U.S. airlines. And they went out to investors, I think last week, and they said, we are pausing our guidance. So they didn't give new guidance, but they said, what we gave you before probably isn't going to be true, and we need some time to work this out. So I don't know if folks are planning to fly any of the Canadian airlines in the near future, but if they do, you know, your chances of being delayed or canceled are probably bigger if you're flying WestJet or Air Canada than if you're flying American, United, or Southwest.
Yeah, and Brian, I did see a story about from Canada about their contingency plans and that they were planning on not having the 737 MAX until July.
Yes. You know, you don't know how much of this is actionable information that they have and how much of it is erring on the side of caution, right? Because if they end up getting the MAX a little bit earlier than July, then it becomes good news. You can put it back in the system. You can fly more than expected. But, you know, if this delay runs later than they think it does, then they're in trouble. So if they put the MAX back on the schedule, say on May 15th, out of wishful thinking, and they don't get it back until July, then they've inconvenienced a lot of travelers. So I just don't know what data they have. You know, we've talked about this on the show before. End of June, July, August, that's when North American and actually European travel demand ramps up. every airline is scheduling every airplane to fly as much as it can. So if this thing does last into July, people are going to find more delays, more cancellations, because at that point, you can't really do more than less. You already are flying your airplanes as much as you can.
Last week on the program, I asked you about the FAA administrator position. Since we talked, the White House has announced plans to nominate Stephen Dixon for that job. He's a former Delta Airlines guy.
Yeah, you know, this is sort of interesting, and I know people are curious or even upset that the FAA, which is the major safety regulator for the United States aviation system, has gone with a former airline guy as its new administrator. It probably doesn't look great. But you know what? When I talk to people, they're pretty pleased with this decision. They're happy that the FAA has chosen somebody who, you know, knows aviation, knows what the major issues are. You may remember several months ago, there was a lot of fear that President Trump wanted to choose his personal pilot as the FAA administrator. And that's somebody that probably does not have the 360-degree view of aviation, like somebody who was a senior executive at a U.S. airline. So this is certainly better than that. There's no doubt that this gentleman knows the industry. Could he be too cushy with airlines? I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see.
One of your other stories this week is kind of a cool story. I know we all look for discount airfare when we want to fly. And the airlines have made changes to their revenue strategies in recent months that could possibly impact discount tickets.
You're right, Steve. I definitely geek out of airfares. I spend a lot of my free time just playing on my own, and I've noticed some patterns over the last several months. I don't know if the listeners have as well, but this story that I wrote focused on two airlines, United and Alaska, and they both have recently moved to new strategies for how they sell tickets. So United did something interesting over the last 2 years or so, but they're getting even better at it. They're holding more tickets into the last minute for business travelers, those lawyers and consultants in Chicago working downtown that have to go to New York, and they only have 2 days' notice, and they're literally willing to pay any price. And United's new executive team said, you know what, in the past, United tried to sell too many tickets in advance at a discount. They didn't leave enough seats open last minute for these business travelers. It is among these airlines, you know what, how many business travelers are going to show up at the last minute? How many seats should we leave available? People know if I go to New York ticket on sale for $99 one way, 3 months in advance, somebody's going to grab it. So you know that you can sell that seat in advance at the right price, but you may just want to hold it free, just hoping a business traveler comes last minute and buys it. So that's where United has gone. Alaska Airlines has gone the other way. You may remember that Alaska 2 years ago or so acquired Virgin America. Virgin America used to have this United model. They flew two big cities. Alaska bought Virgin America. They looked at the data and they said, you know what, these business travelers that you think are going to come at the last minute, sometimes they come and pay you a lot of money, but very often they never show up. You don't earn the revenue, and it would probably be best if you just book the revenue earlier in the booking curve. So when Alaska took over Virgin America, they said, you know what, we'll still leave some expensive tickets open at the last minute for business travelers, but we're going to sell more account tickets 4, 6, 8, 10 weeks in advance. So if you go to AlaskaAir.com and you look at San Francisco to New York, which is an old Virgin America route, you will probably find more discounts in advance now than you did 3 years ago when the airline was called Virgin America.
All right, Brian, good conversation as always. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Brian Summers is Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift at skift.com, at Skift on Twitter. Make sure you follow Brian, too, at Brian Summers on Twitter.